This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's been almost 40 years since Illinois' Freedom of Information Act went into effect. The law, which is known informally as FOIA, is based on similar legislation at the federal level. As the text of the Illinois statute says, it is declared to be the public policy of the state of Illinois that all persons are entitled to full and complete information regarding the affairs of government and the official acts and policies of those who represent them as public officials and public employees. But what happens when an entire branch of state and local government declares itself exempt from the law? The Illinois courts have done just that because of what amounts to a loophole. Advocates for a transparent judiciary say that leaves Illinoisans in the dark and keeps them from holding state government accountable. A number of organizations want to change that. They formed the Court Transparency Coalition, and in the new session of the General Assembly that's beginning today in Springfield, the coalition plans to back legislation that would explicitly add the judicial branch to the state's Freedom of Information Act. Sophia Van Pelt published an essay last month about all of this. She's a policy analyst in Chicago at the nonprofit, nonpartisan Better Government Association, and she joins us now. Sophie, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for having me.
Also with us to talk about this are representatives of another organization that's part of the coalition. Sarah Stout is director of policy for the Chicago Appleseed Center for Fair Courts. It's a nonprofit that focuses on removing systemic barriers to justice in the legal system. Sarah, welcome to you as well.
Good morning.
And we also want to take a look at the bigger picture of freedom of information laws across the country. And for that, we're joined by Gunita Singh. She's a staff attorney for the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, an organization that works to protect First Amendment freedoms and the news gathering rights of journalists. Gunita, thank you for taking the time to be with us today as well.
Good afternoon from D.C.
Excellent. And I do want to mention before we begin that we did contact the spokesman for the Illinois Supreme Court, which oversees the entire court system in Illinois, to invite the judiciary into our conversation. He noted that the court is in the middle of its January term, said no one would be able to join, but did send a statement which we will share in context later in the conversation. For now, we want to invite you to join us today at 800-222-9455. What do you want to know about the efforts to change the Freedom of Information Act in Illinois? And what do you think of the judicial branch being exempt from the act, or rather exempting itself from the act? 800-222-9455 or email us talk@21stshow.org. All right, Sophie, I want to start with you and your reporting or writing on this. Talk more about that loophole that allows the judicial branch to exempt itself from FOIA.
Thank you so much for having me here today and letting me talk about this. So basically, the situation is when FOIA was written, it says that public bodies have to provide access to the public information that they have. And this is documents, this is emails between government officials. It covers a large area, a lot of different types of documents. And this is a really important work for researchers and for reporters, people to get this information. But in the law, under public body, it does not explicitly name the judicial branch. So they've been able to interpret the law to say that they are exempt from FOIA. And that's sort of where this whole thing begins.
And you actually went through, you know, the courts talk about legislative intent, right? Where they'll go back and read the transcripts of the debate around when a law was passed. You actually did that for the debate around FOIA in the Illinois House. What did the lawmakers say about that?
When I was looking back and looking at the original debates, it really struck me that they had this in mind, that the courts had been wishy-washy on if they're a public body in the past. And it really seemed to, at least while I was reading it, come down in favor that the representatives at the time saw what they were doing should cover not just the executive and the legislative branches, but the judicial branch as well. Explicitly named is the Supreme Court, who is the head of the judicial branch.
So it wasn't necessarily an oversight, this is, or was it? I mean, on the part of lawmakers, that the courts are out.
It both is and isn't. They did not see themselves at, I don't think they saw that the courts using this as a sort of loophole, but the courts have been able to, and that is why the Court Transparency Coalition is basically saying what we need to do is add judicial branch under the definition of public body. And then it's much more clear, and there's no way to sort of wiggle out of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can come back to what the future might hold here, but let's maybe take a step back and look at the bigger picture of this. And Gunita Singh, I want to bring you into the conversation now with the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press. Illinois' FOIA law talks about the importance of ensuring governments being conducted in the public interest. What, generally speaking, is the big picture purpose of freedom of information laws as they relate to open, transparent government and, you know, bigger picture as they relate to our democracy?
That is a great question that I could talk about ad nauseum, but I will do my best to give the cliff notes.
I say we've got a half hour left in the show.
So I'll truncate my response. You're absolutely right that the relationship between freedom of information laws and our democracy as a whole can't really be understated. The FOIA statute in Illinois says that it's the public policy of the state that all persons are entitled to, quote, full and complete information regarding the affairs of government. And I'm all for taking historical figures with a grain of salt, of course. And Thomas Jefferson said that information is the currency of democracy. You cannot have a meaningful, robust, healthy democracy without a free flow of information from government to individuals and communities. And that's absolutely the case in Illinois as well as across the country. So freedom of information statutes, which by and large apply primarily to executive branch agencies, but sometimes can encompass legislatures and judicial systems as well, are the primary means by which the press and the public can obtain that information in order to disseminate it to wider audiences.
So let me bring you into the conversation now. Sarah Stout with the Chicago Appleseed Center for Fair Courts. What can the public not access because of the court's FOIA exemption? What are some of the things the public doesn't know about?
So it's actually a really broad selection of things that we can't know about. There's some that are very obvious. We don't have in the same kind of information, for example, about how the court spends its funds, the way its budgets work, that we do in the legislative and executive branches. But there's also a much broader set of really substantive information we can't get. In Illinois, the courts are administratively in charge of a huge range of organizations and that one wouldn't necessarily at first think of as being under the courts, but they are. So for example, all probation and pretrial services are under the courts. We can't get information about those. And our juvenile detention centers, our juvenile jails are also run by the judiciary. And so there's a huge amount of information about the treatment of children who are in the custody of the state in those pretrial facilities that we don't have because of the judiciary exempting itself from FOIA.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the Illinois courts today and the fact that they are exempt or have exempted themselves from the state's freedom of information laws. There's a group, a coalition out there that is working to change that. They're called the Court Transparency Coalition. Among the organizations participating in that effort is the Better Government Association, where Sophia Van Pelt is a policy analyst. Also, the Chicago Appleseed Center for Fair Courts, where Sarah Stout is director of policy. And we're also speaking today with Gunita Singh, who's a staff attorney for the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press. 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. And we've got Trevor calling in from Lockport. Trevor, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
What's your question? Go ahead.
My question is, why? So I've heard before, you know, all this is all anecdotal, but I've heard before, you know, our United States Supreme Court, you know, a lot of its sessions are closed door, and, you know, maybe their arguments surrounding that decision would be we need to protect the integrity of the court and make sure it's, you know, immune from distraction or outside influence, and even that can come during the day of court trial, and that's why, you know, they don't necessarily film these things. So is that a similar reason the Judiciary Department of our state would argue to be exempt from the Freedom of Information Act? Or what other arguments has it made as to why it gets to exempt itself?
No, that's a great question, Trevor. Thank you for calling in with that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm probably more in line with that way of thinking. I mean, I'm an outlier among my colleagues in broadcast media, and that I am not necessarily a huge fan of cameras in courts, at least not in trial courts. I worry it could cut against the right of defendants. And so maybe Sarah, with the Appleseed Center for Fair Courts, what do you think about that argument that, you know, there are good reasons to have certain aspects of court proceedings be secret?
Sure. You know, there absolutely are. And one of the things to know about the changes that we are proposing to the Freedom of Information Act is that there would be exemptions for the kind of judicial decision making that you're talking about already in FOIA for other kinds of decision making. For example, things like drafts of opinions, things like that, you know, in similar settings in the executive and legislative branches, those things are already exempt from FOIA. What we're really talking about here is administrative data and data about these agencies that the court oversees that we don't have a lot of information about. So, you know, I think that there's a great debate to be had about what level of access the public should have to live court proceedings. But here we're really talking about access to records and access to information.
Gunita Singh, I understand you want to jump in on this as well.
Sure. I appreciate everything that Sarah just said, and I wanted to add a bit of historical context, which is the United States Supreme Court has consistently recognized that the public and the press have a presumptive right of access to judicial proceedings and records that actually stems from the First Amendment, noting that historically both civil and criminal trials have been presumptively open. So really baked in to the history of this country is that presumption of access to both the unfolding of a trial and the records, you know, proffered and filed with the court during those trials. And every federal court of appeals to have considered whether the First Amendment guarantees that right of access, or at least that qualified presumptive right of access, has concluded that it does, including the Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit, which covers Illinois. So I wanted to note that even though we do have these instances of, you know, secret deliberations or certain elements of a trial conducted in secret for various reasons, I think there's this important element of a historical access that very much still carries through to the present.
Sophia, do you want to weigh in on what our caller, Trevor, had to say there about, you know, good reasons for the courts having secrecy?
I would definitely like to jump in, and I want to definitely echo what both of them just previously said, and I think those are excellent points. I think another thing that would help sort of frame Trevor's thinking on this is to understand more about what we are looking to have access to. Much like Sarah said, right, there are already exemptions in FOIA for a lot of things, but I think it would be enlightening to learn that, for instance, there have been trouble of reporters to even ask how many cases has a judge seen since they became a judge. And also when you look at some of the data for some of the things the court runs administratively, one, as Sarah mentioned earlier, is juvenile detention centers fall underneath the courts. You cannot find out, as you can for other correction facilities, for example, how many suicide attempts have there been in the last year. And that's it's data like this that I think really sort of shows we're not looking at trying to just dig in just for the sake of it. These are real tangible issues and numbers that allow for better participation in democracy, as Gunita said earlier.
Yeah, and it's not, as you say, the notes on the deliberations that the Supreme Court justices might have after hearing a case. There's a lot more data and a lot more activity the courts do. I think this is probably a good opportunity to mention again that we did invite the Illinois court system to join our conversation today, and they declined. Spokesman Christopher Bongean noted that the Illinois Supreme Court is in the middle of its January term and sent us this statement. It says, quote, "The Illinois courts are working to upgrade existing technology to streamline data collection and sharing efforts. It will take time to implement this throughout the state's 102 courts, but once complete, will bring about a sea change in the amount of available statewide data. We have had preliminary discussions with the Civic Federation regarding the sharing of court information and look forward to continuing the dialogue," end quote. And we've only got about a little less than a minute before we need to break, but a quick initial reaction to that, Sophie, maybe?
I do think recently the Administrative Office of the Illinois Courts has been doing a lot to improve data practices. They've had committees on this, and I do think that is good in importance, but it does not replace, at the end of the day, the courts cannot oversee themselves. That's the duty of the public.
All right. This is a good time. We're going to take a break. If you want to join our conversation on transparency and the Freedom of Information Act as it relates to Illinois courts, the number to do so is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can email us. The address is talk@21stshow.org, talk@21stshow.org. More with Sophie Van Pelt from the Better Government Association, Sarah Stout with Chicago Appleseed Center for Fair Courts, and Gunita Singh with the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press when we return. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about an effort to make the Illinois courts more transparent. There's an organization, or a group of organizations, I guess a supergroup, called the Court Transparency Coalition that is planning to push legislation in the new session of the General Assembly that's beginning today that would explicitly add Illinois' judicial branch of government to the state's Freedom of Information Law. We're talking about that with Sophia Van Pelt, who is a policy analyst at the Better Government Association, wrote an article about this last month. Also, Sarah Stout, Director of Policy for the Chicago Appleseed Center for Fair Courts, and Gunita Singh, who's a staff attorney for the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation today. That's 800-222-9455. And Gunita Singh, let me ask you, how unusual is Illinois in terms of where it stands with freedom of information laws and the courts when you look at it from a national perspective?
Yeah, it's an important question. You know, it's actually not that unusual. So about half of the states in the U.S. explicitly include their judicial system within the ambit of their public records law. So by extension, about half do not. And one point I'd like to make about that is I think it's important to keep in mind it's not necessarily nefarious that these various legislatures have chosen not to include the judicial system within the ambit of the statute's disclosure requirements. And that's for a couple of reasons. It kind of harkens back to that constitutional presumption of access that I was talking about before the break, where baked into the history of this country's access provisions is this presumption that criminal trials and civil trials and the records proffered therein, there is a constitutional right of access to those. Of course, the constitutional access right of access can be overcome if there is a compelling state interest. So, for example, proceedings having to do with juveniles are inherently more sensitive because of the privacy interests that attach to minors, right? But there's also, you know, this principle of separation of powers, which is each branch of government is sort of responsible for the affairs that fall within its own jurisdiction. Now, of course, as the court watchers on this call have mentioned, there have been problems with trying to get certain types of records, you know, having to do with judicial training materials and funding distributed by the administrative office of the Illinois courts. And of course, it's certainly a problem if the Illinois FOIA, if neither the Illinois FOIA nor other provisions, you know, via the Constitution or the common law permit access to that. But I think it's important to note that the statute itself doesn't necessarily have to provide that access as long as there are other mechanisms in place.
Well, isn't this go back to the history of freedom of information laws? Weren't there arguments back in, was it the 60s, that we shouldn't have these because there should just be a general presumption that government information wants to be free?
And I think that presumption very much exists for the vast majority of materials. You know, every state's freedom of information law, and all 50 states plus DC do have a freedom of information statute. They all have roughly the same sorts of exemptions, where there's a deliberative process privilege exemption or an exemption for personal privacy. You know, you shouldn't be able to request my or Sarah's social security numbers through these acts. But there's a general consensus that certain types of records illuminating the important decisions of government officials, particularly elected ones, should be in the public domain in order to foster discourse. Now, whether that comes from a statute or whether it's the common law right of access or the First Amendment, I think that is less of a salient issue as long as there is some provision. Now, what I'm hearing based in this conversation is that there is a loophole here in Illinois where there's sort of this information black hole where the judicial branch itself is not fostering that sort of access. And of course, the legislature, when it enacted Illinois FOIA, chose not to explicitly include the courts within the ambit of the disclosure requirements, and that absolutely needs to be rectified.
Let's go to the phones again. Diane is calling on line 4 from Rockford. Diane, thanks for calling in.
Yes, hi. I wanted to say that the judicial exemption from FOIA is a significant barrier to most criminal defendants. A large number of them are represented by the Public Defender's Office, but it's virtually impossible for most defendants represented by the PD to get information concerning their act, to get actual access to discovery that the public defenders have in its entirety, even after the fact. It's impossible to get pretrial records from the pretrial compliance, probation, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it's really a hindrance, not only in terms of conducting one's defense, but also afterwards, after conviction, in terms of appealing one's sentence, to be deprived of very basic information about mm-hmm. how one's case was conducted, what information was available to one's attorney, how one was defended, and the adequacy or inadequacy of that defense. And the courts really discourage that, I think, as a matter of financial considerations, because they want to protect the fact of the public knowing and understanding that the public defender's offices are so significantly underfunded compared to the state's attorney's offices.
Interesting. All right, Diane, thank you for calling in and sharing your perspective. Sarah Stout with the Chicago Appleseed Center for Fair Courts. Do you want to respond to what Diane had to say there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that it really gets to all of the different ways that that the court, because as Ganita noted, we do not have a court rule or a law that fosters access to information in Illinois. You know, all the different ways that that can come up in terms of both, obviously, you know, from my perspective as a researcher, I'm interested in things like aggregate data and, you know, information about how lots of different cases are working. But FOIA is also really important for people to have access to information about things that are very near and dear and personal to them, right? And that is also a really important part of why we have to have some mechanism for FOIAing the courts. And since the judiciary has made clear through its own case law that it is not interested in creating a right of access. It gives access voluntarily to some information, but it doesn't create a right of access through its rules. We really do need a legislative fix.
Sophie, what has taken so long here? I mentioned it's been 40 years since the original version of Illinois' FOIA law passed. Why has it taken so long to make any progress on addressing this loophole, as you call it?
I think there's a number of factors at play. If I'm remembering correctly, for instance, for when Illinois enacted its FOIA law, I believe it was the last state in the country to enact a public access law on the state level. And even then, I don't think our law was a shining example of what a public access law can be. And it wasn't until relatively recently, I believe it was 2008, 2009, when FOIA got a significant overhaul. And maybe Sarah can speak a little bit more, and Ganita can speak a little bit more broadly about strengths and weaknesses of different FOIA laws in different states. But for instance, that we saw the creation of the Public Access Counselor, and there's been a lot of work in getting Illinois' FOIA law to where it is today. And we just haven't arrived at a perfect law. There's a good chance we'll never quite arrive at a perfect law, and that this is just the next step in getting an even better FOIA law, is making sure that the judicial branch, that the public has access to the judicial branch.
Yeah, well, of course, Illinois is famously the state that don't want nobody, nobody sent. And so, not surprisingly, it was one of the last to get a freedom of information law. And we'll see where it falls in the courts as it's working to do that. One last time, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about an effort to revise Illinois' freedom of information laws to explicitly include the court system, not judicial deliberations or things that are, you know, secretive, juvenile proceedings, that sort of things. But as we've been talking about, the courts encompass quite a lot of activity in Illinois, not just trials, but also the entire probation system falls under courts, as well as juvenile detention in this state. We're talking about this with Sophia Van Pelt of the Better Government Association, Sarah Stout of the Chicago Appleseed Center for Fair Courts, and Gunita Singh, staff attorney with the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press. And about 5 minutes, maybe even four minutes, I should say, left in our conversation. Ganita, what lessons should Illinois take from states where the judicial system is included in part of FOIA?
Great question. I think it can't be understated the importance of sending a pro-transparency message that not just honors the letter of public records laws, but the spirit thereof. Sophie is absolutely right that in 2010, the General Assembly of Illinois expanded the scope of Illinois FOIA. And one of the notable changes was it included as public records of contractors for public bodies. So it's, you know, there's nothing stopping the General Assembly from further expanding the scope of the public records law. It sends a pro-transparency message. Maryland, neighbor to DC, where I live and work, both their Public Information Act, as well as the common law, and I've been using that term left and right, but I didn't actually explain what it meant. That's just the law that has been around for 250 years that we inherited from Great Britain. Both their statute and the common law of that state apply to records of the judiciary. So in Illinois, there's nothing stopping the General Assembly from including the judiciary within the scope of its public records law in order to further enhance the right of access that already exists at the common law and the constitutional level.
Sarah, any closing thoughts about, you know, where state lawmakers stand on how likely this is or is not to happen this session?
Well, you know, I really hope that as we move forward, we're able to educate lawmakers and educate the public about just how important this information really is. I think that, you know, if we are able to move to a system where we can get this kind of information from our judiciary, we'll be a stronger state. we'll be able to better make sure that our judiciary is acting the way we would like it to and hold it accountable.
And Sophie, I think last question to you. What are you looking at next as your work continues in this area?
Personally, looking at next, other areas where the courts not being transparent impacts people's lives, especially with juvenile detention centers, as Sarah mentioned earlier, that's a significant issue, as well as following what this new General Assembly will be doing with court transparency, and hoping that that we will see some legislative push in this new session, which if people would like to follow on the BGA policy website, there will be a legislative tracker where they can follow both court transparency bills as well as other bills that are important for transparency in Illinois government.
All right. Sophia Van Pelt is policy analyst at the Better Government Association. We've also been speaking with Sarah Stout of the Chicago Appleseed Center for Fair Courts. She's director of policy there. And Gunita Singh, a staff attorney at the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press. Gunita, Sarah, Sophie, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
And I do want to mention again, we did invite the Illinois courts to join our conversation. They declined. We read their statement earlier. Coming up tomorrow on the 21st Show, we're going to be getting an update on the so-called triple-demic, although we've heard from guests on our show who don't exactly like that framing, but basically where Illinois stands with regard to RSV, the flu, COVID-19. We're going to be hearing about a new COVID variant that's said to be potentially more contagious than the Omicron variant that first appeared last winter. We're talking about all that with Dr. Vithi Sundaresan, medical advisor at the Sangamon County Department of Public Health and chief of infectious diseases at the SIU School of Medicine. What questions do you have? Are you still taking precautions against these infectious diseases? Let us know. You can leave a voicemail at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. Or send us an email. talk@21stshow.org is the address. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson, Anaya Jones, and Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Visit our website, 21stshow.org, for a link to our podcast, or you can find us on Apple or Spotify. Just search for The 21st. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.